good-looking crowd on this Wednesday night, just following our Christmas celebration, and I'm still thankful for the Christ child's birth, but I'm just as thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection as I was his birth. There's a whole lot of people that will celebrate his birth that will not celebrate the risen Savior. So let's pray for those folks. There's some people that were probably in a church somewhere on Sunday that may not be back on Easter just simply because they love the finery and the festivities of Christmas, but they won't celebrate that old vicarious death on the cross. It's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. I trust that you've been praying, looking for a blessing. We'll be in the book of Titus tonight, the book of Titus, chapter number 2, with the Lord as our helper. I'll give you a few quick prayer requests. Had two requests of prayer, one from Archie and one from Greg on the way over this evening. We've still got a couple that's in and out of the hospital as of late. Steve Falls' mother-in-law, April's mama, Linda's in the hospital. So you pray for that situation. God knows the need there. We've got a whole host of folks that's been in and out and in rehab and such as that. We got Brother Woody at home recovering. He's still very sick. You pray for Brother Woody, Miss Jean Potts. Let's just remember Miss Cletha. Don't forget those. I don't call out every one of them each time, like Sister May Bumgarner, Oakland, Minton, and little Ray Fall, and Ronnie. Every one of them that we just pray and we raise them up. Stella McGlamory, Sue Church. God knows the needs of all those folks that are less fortunate than us to be able to be in his house. But let's just lift them up. It'd be our duty to pray for them and ask God to restore them in a portion of strength that they might be able to get back out. If some of them can, some of them probably won't. Just being honest with you, some of them may never make it back to a church house, but we can take church to them. Go be a witness to them. Tell them about Jesus and try to encourage them. I promise you, when you go to tell them about the goodness of God and try to be a blessing, you'll be the one that gets blessed. It's always the way it works. Tonight, with the Lord as our helper, I want to preach a message to all of us. And you said, to all of us, yeah, me included, all of us. Have you ever felt like the message was just for you? Amen? I've been there many, many times. Felt like, man, he preached right down my channel today. I mean, he was right on my trail. He was right down my alley. My wife has seen me sit there when Larry Adams or somebody plowing up taters and me just sitting there with my head hung down. It's hard to shout, Brother John, whenever he's right where you're living. But the Bible says that the gospel has appeared to all people. And then in the book of, I opened up with this in the prayer room tonight, and you keep your place right there in Titus, but in the book of Luke, the Bible said in chapter number 2 and verse number 10 that the gospel, listen at this now, was to all people. It says in 2:10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So in every message that I preach, every message ever preached behind this book board, be it any other preacher that I invite up here, that the Lord puts it on my heart and I get one of these other preachers, they're for every single one of us. Let's nail that down right now. Every message is for everybody. I don't single out some hit man to come up here rather than shooting with a scatter gun where he's going to hit us all. I don't get anybody, Brother Chris, to get a rifle out and pinpoint you and your sin. If it feels that way to you, that preacher got real close to me tonight, then go ahead and own up to it. Get that thing fixed so the next time you're not dealing with that. Because honestly, I don't have any agenda. I never do. I promise you, I never have an agenda. I don't have any single person in mind when I'm preaching. And it's been recently told to me that I called out somebody. Three different occasions, I called them out from the pulpit, put them on the spot. And I said, I don't remember calling you out. And that person just said, well, it's the situation that I'm in that you're calling me out. You may not be calling me by name, but you're calling me out because of my situation. Listen to me, folks. If I'm preaching on shacking up, and you're shacking up, then yeah, that was for you. If I'm preaching on alcoholism and you're known to give some drink, guess what? That's for you. If I'm preaching on a long tongue and gossip, liars, whatever, if it fits you, then put the thing on. It's yours. But brother, somebody we're going to shout amen. Somebody we're going to say, I'm going to say, oh me. And that's just the way that it is. But I don't have any agenda. I just preach to everybody. But tonight, as it will be laid out before us, and this is the Lord laying this out because he inspired Paul to write it down to this young Titus. And the way they broke it down was into four distinct demographic groups. He's got the aged men and the aged women. He's got the young men and the young women. Now, I didn't break it down that way. That's the way God did it, and that's the way we're going to preach it tonight. There's some things in the Scriptures that are very clear. Boys are supposed to like girls. Girls are supposed to like boys. I don't care if that hair lips the devil and every demon in hell. That's the way God ordained it. It is against nature for two little boys to be together. It's against nature for two little girls, even up through their adolescent years, when the hormones start raging and everything. It goes against God when that happens. And that's just the way that it is. So there's some things in here tonight that's going to help us, and it'll help you in your own demographic group. Let's do this tonight. I would put myself... I'm 51 years old, so I will sit down just like the rest of y'all are seated. Am I in the adolescent males, or am I in that young men group, or am I in the old man group? You'd have to say that I'm in the old man group, so I stand up. If you are in the group of the aged men, which will be in verse number 2, stand up. If you'll put that suit on and you'll wear that, come on, Chad Spears, get up. You ain't no kid. You can sit back down, Chad. I was messing with you. No, Kim, get Kim. Now listen, this is not hard. This is not real hard. I'm looking around to see who's lying tonight, then we're going to preach to the liars. Kevin, Beardy, get up. Now, you look around. When I'm preaching about the aged men, guess what? I'm preaching to Dennis Minton. I'm preaching to Gerald Roberts. I'm preaching to Brother Max. I'm preaching to Brother Greg. I'm preaching to Brother Jamie, Brother Grant, Brother Steve. I'm preaching to these over here. I'm preaching to you. When you're standing up, Robert, what are you doing sitting down? Just because your wife told you to sit down, you don't... That's in here too about being in submission to your husband, not... Lord help us. Y'all go ahead and sit down. We got problems from the get-go. You see, the thing is, you don't know who you what part. You know who you belong to, but you don't know where yet. Where's my aged women? The Bible said also in verse number 3, the aged women. Where are you? Stand up proudly, honey. You ought to wear that with honor. Why? Because you've got children. And there's some instructions in here to you for them. It's in the Scriptures. So don't be ashamed of whatever demographic group you can be seated. Now where in the next one it says that those older or aged women may teach the young women. Where's my young women tonight? Come on, Becky. That's your key to stand up. Come on, Hopi, honey. Stand up and count yourself among the young women. There we go. Now, we're going to hit that, Elena Grace, and we're going to nail it in a minute. Now, you can be seated in the last demographic group that's in the Scriptures here. It talks about the young men, and that'd be found in the first part of verse number 6. Where's my young men at? If you didn't stand up earlier, that's you. Let me help y'all with that. If you didn't stand up earlier. Now, did everybody in here get a chance to stand up? If you didn't. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know what gender you are, you got problems beyond this pastoral help, okay? We'll get you a psychotherapist, a psychologist, and a psychiatrist. And as Barney Fife said, you'd make a good study. You'd make a fine study. Now, everybody stand up, and we're going to read our Scriptures tonight. Like I said, this gets every single one of us. There's nobody left out. You said, but I don't think every message is for me. Every message has something for you. The whole message may not be to you if I'm preaching about the illed manners of the flesh and you're not given to those. But God, guess what? It's still for you because you got delivered from them. You say, well, I was never delivered from the drink because I wasn't ever a drunk. Maybe you got your delivered before you got into that mess. I mean, that's the way that it works out sometimes. For those of us that got saved young, I'm glad I didn't have to be delivered from a crack needle or a crack pipe or marijuana or drugs or alcohol. I'm glad that I didn't have to be delivered from that, Brother John. I seen people that went down that path and it didn't work out real well for them. And the meth had taken their teeth and had pockmarked up their skin. And the sin, the stench of sin and the stain of sin and the scars of sin was all about them. I'm thankful I didn't have to be delivered from that. But God loves me or them no more. He loves me no more than he does them. And bless God, the same Christ that died for me as a 13-year-old boy getting saved is the same Christ that died for them. It's the same thing all the way around. You got deliverance one way or the other, through it, out of it, before you got into it. It was the same deliverance. So we all can shout on that, amen? The Bible said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Here you go. Here's our demographic groups as broken down by Paul unto Titus. That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Here's our aged women, that they likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach who? The next demographic group, the young women, to be sober, to love their husbands. And yes, young women supposed to have a husband, and young men supposed to have a wife. The Bible teaches that. It's described and declared in the scripture that a young man is supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That's the scriptures. It ain't nothing I put in there. That's the scriptures. And the Bible said to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Here's the last, the next demographic group. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary apart may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? To all men, teaching us, and that says all, and that word men, that does not stand for man as in a gender or a male. That speaks to men as in mankind. It said that the glorious gospel hath appeared to all men, teaching us, and that word us means teaching every one of us certain things, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now you'll find other scripture where it says, no, let no man despise thy youth. This is strictly to every one of us. It says, let no man despise thee. Chris Barker, ask God to bless us. And as you're being seated even now, do pray for Brother Chris, you mate. He'll be bringing the message here on Youth Sunday. Young people, if you have volunteered to teach a class, to step up, to open the Sunday school, to be an usher, to do whatever it is, you be prepared for that. God will bless you for what you do. I promise you that. Brother Chris, we're praying for you. You pray for Brother Chris as he preaches on Sunday. And Brother Justin and Miss Lindsay, they still here somewhere? They're going to be having a little baby dedication for little Aubrey this coming Sunday. So you pray for them that as they bring up little Aubrey, that she'll be brought up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I'm going to promise you this. Somebody said up here the other day, I believe it was Brother Tam. One of these kids walked up to me, and I don't remember which one. I believe it was Colton, maybe. Somebody brought me my little voice box and handed it to me. And the eyes, his little eyes looking up to me, it just looked, he was looking up to me like, man, he was looking up to me. And I'm not talking, he was looking up to me because he was short of stature and I was bigger than he was. He was looking up to me like I was some great thing, and I am not a great thing. But I tell you what, as these young people look up to you, Jamie, as they look up to me and as they look up to you, we better walk worthy. We better be setting an example. The Bible says to be an example, but also to be an ensample unto the flock, to be an example to the world, but be an ensample inside of these church walls. So anyway, we get back to the open of the message tonight. Every single one of us is going to be hit by this message, whether it be an aged man, an aged woman, a young man or a young woman. Everybody's found in the scriptures here. Paul linked doctrine and good works together. He said, hey, you're going to have one, not because you desire to have the other, but because of the other. We are not saved by works, but bless God, we work because we are saved. And Paul's telling Timothy here that there's some things, some characteristics, some traits about the doctrine of the Bible and the teachings. Doctrine, you know what doctrine is, don't you? It's nothing more than a teaching of. The doctrinal position of the church in these things is this. This church teaches the doctrine. teaches the doctrinal position of salvation by grace and grace alone. What does that mean, preacher? It does not mean that you have to be saved and baptized to go to heaven. I believe you ought to be baptized. I believe that being obedient to the scriptures, you ought to follow him in a liquid grave and go down, showing the world the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But you going to heaven, my friend, is not incumbent upon you being stripped, dipped, dunked, a splash, splintered, splattered. It does not matter. Bless God, there was a thief hanging on a cross that got a promise. They didn't take him down and dunk him. He did not go anywhere and give a tithe. He did no good alms before men. Brother John, he just looked over and said, Lord, remember me. And that was enough for him to get a promise from the holiest of all men that ever walked the earth. Today, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So let's put aside that. But the doctrinal teaching is this, that we believe in eternal security for the believer. Now, I'm not preaching all these doctrinal points that we believe in tonight. I could preach on doctrine of angels or doctrine of this or that. And I could preach on the doctrine of the deity, the virgin birth. I could preach on a lot of different doctrinal positions. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. I'm saying that as we do preach and teach doctrine, there are certain doctrinal elements that's going to hit you, the aged man, that won't affect or won't necessarily pertain to that of the aged women. They just won't do it. There's not supposed to be some older man teaching the young girls. That's not even biblical. And if you got an old man that's over a house full of young girls or teaching young girls, bless God, you better watch that man and you better watch him very closely, because that goes against what the Bible said. That's why we've got young women downstairs teaching the young girls, and we've got it set up by the way the Bible says to do it. If you go down below the teen class, you're going to find out that we've got women in there. You got Brianna and Jan in there, and you got Cindy and Chastity in there, and you have Rebecca and Margaret in there. There's a reason for that, Miss Margaret. It's not just by happenstance that we don't put old men down there with young girls. That's just not the way that we do things. Why? Because we try to follow the biblical precept as it pertains to the teaching in God's Word. Are we okay on that so far? Amen. So we start out with the first group, the aged men. Man, we have got a heavy, heavy weight on our shoulders. Greg, women are not deacons. Women are not bishops or preachers or pastors. They're not. You said, boy, that's a bummer. Just whenever Jean was wanting to announce her calling here, I just thumped in the head. Her and Miss Cletha, I've been here almost 11 years, and for almost 11 years, her and Miss Cletha have wanted to be deacons, deaconesses. Linda Staley, bless her dear heart, used to sit right over here, Brother Donnie, and she wanted to be a deaconess. You said, did they really? No, they just teased me because that's the way that they're nuts. And what else can I say about it? But you men that do bear the responsibility as being one of the aged men, Brother Ken, we've got an awesome responsibility. Brother Chad, we have to become the scriptures. They have to become us. Why? Because that's the way the Bible set this thing up. The wife, the woman is the weaker of the two. I didn't make that up. The Bible said it and the Bible made that. He was the weaker of the two. Adam was the stronger. And we see how this thing's laid out. So let's just look down first off in verse number 2. The Bible said that the aged man, let's just break it down. He may be sober. What's that mean, Brother Derek? Does that mean he shouldn't be a sot and shouldn't be drinking? I guess he could pertain to that, but what does it also mean? That a man's supposed to be sober, he's supposed to be vigilant, he's supposed to be upright. That man better be cognizant of all awareness around him. What's going on? I believe a pastor ought to be sober, Brother Chris. I mean, he ought to be looking day in and day out. Every time we come in here, that pastor needs to be looking, Ben, to see what's coming into his flock and see if there's somebody going to try to tear it up and what their precept is and coming in here. What are they coming over here for? And what did they come over here from? I've had a pastor friend of mine. I had a group from here come there. And he said, what are y'all doing over here? Don't y'all go to Calvary? And he said, they said, yeah, we go to Calvary. But he said, then what are you doing over here? And then that preacher said, that boy said, well, we're kind of looking around right now. He said, does your pastor know you over here looking around? And they said, well, no, we ain't talked to him about it yet. He said, then go talk to him before you come back over here. If there was a little bit of that going on, there'd be a whole lot less running around in the world going on. But bless God, the Bible said that the aged men are supposed to be sober. minded. They're supposed to be looking and watching for some kind of trespass. They're supposed to be aware and alert of what's going on in his congregation or in his household. You say, I'm not a pastor, so I'm not looking out after this flock. That belongs to you. Are you looking out after your household? Are you looking out after that which God has entrusted you? If you're the head of your household, you ought to be so inclined to the scriptures, you ought to be so given to prayer that if one of your children even has a thought that's wrong, you'd go to him and say, Miss Macy, honey, I know something's bothering you. And many times we would and we did. You ought to be so in tune with your children, your grandchildren even. You ought to go to them and say, honey, I want you to know something. Grandma loves you. Honey, I'd give my life for you. And I want you to know how serious this thing called Christianity is. And bless God, you'd go to them. You aged men, you have got a great and a divine holy calling and purpose on your life. It has to be the head of your household. You ought to be sober. You ought to be watching. You ought to be looking for that would come in and tear down that which God hath raised up. Because I assure you, if you're trying to do it right, and I believe we got a whole bunch around here that are, you ought to take it serious. And you ought to know this, the devil don't like you trying to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. He just does it. So as we look at that, the aged men are supposed to be sober. Look what it says. He's supposed to be sober. Or he's supposed to be alert, fully aware of the consequences of the surroundings, the things that's coming his way. What's the next word in that? He's supposed to be what? He's supposed to be grave. What does the word grave mean? What's that? It's supposed to be reverent. What else would it mean? It would mean that he's supposed to be solemn. He's supposed to be serious. When it comes to the matters of taking care of his household, he ought to be grave. He ought to be reverent. He ought to put God above everything else. And brother, then he ought to say, hey, does God want me to do this? I don't care if you're buying a new car, buying a new house, moving, getting a different job, whatever it is. Brother John, you said you wanted more wisdom. Bless God, that's a good thing to ask for. Solomon didn't say, give me gold, give me silver, give me platinum, give me bronze, or give me brass. Solomon said, Lord, you just give me wisdom. And when God gave him wisdom, what happened? All that other stuff was added unto him. The Bible said, if you'll seek me first, seek me first. He said, seek God first. He said, then all these things shall be added unto you. And that's the way the scriptures work themselves out. And Brother Larry, a man ought to be sober, but he also ought to be grave. He ought to be upright at heart. He ought to be solemnly aware of what the scriptures are teaching him. He ought to be serious about serving God. There should be no question in the household. Your children, Brother Robert Church, should not come to you. You said, are you preaching to Robert Church? Right now I am. They ought not be any question to you. Samuel should not have to say, Daddy, are we going to the church house tonight? He ought to just know, hey, Daddy, is it Wednesday? And if it is Wednesday, guess what? Get in line, kids. We're going to the house of God. It should never be a question. But there's people that don't know because they have not been regular and faithful in attendance. Therefore, the kids don't see it as a need. Brother Greg, I need this place in this place needs me because God hath called me to be the pastor. He didn't call you to be the pastor, but you ought to be here doing your part. Every one of us play into this thing. Don't just be sober or just grave. Don't just be serious or solemn, but look at the next word. He give us several. That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate. What's that mean? What's temperate mean? What's that? To be tempered. Don't fly off the handle. Even keel. That's a good one. Stable. How about that? Just be stable. Be steadfast. If your kids don't know if you're up or down, they don't know if they can come talk to you today or not. Why? Because you're unstable. They don't know if you're stable today or unstable. They don't know if you're wishy-washy. The Bible said what? That a double-tongued man and an unstable man, double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. They don't know if they can come talk to you or not. You might fly off the handle and beat them half to death. You may ground them for a week. Bless God, you ought to have time for your family. You ought to have time for your children. And you ought to have time for God. Work in some prayer time. I'm in there. Why? Your kids are going to need it. You ought to be temperate. Look at the next one. Sound in faith. What does that mean? You ought to be about God's work. You said, good, Lane, we ain't never going to get through all four demographic groups. This could be a 4-week study, I guess, but we're starting out pretty good, ain't we, Brother John? He ought to be sound in faith. We've had people as of late, if you're here and you're from one of those more contemporary churches. I'm glad you're here. I had some leave here the other day that had come from the Unified City Church, and we had some over here from Celebration. You know what they found when they got here? They found us to be a whole lot different in our worship than they are. We're there and there. They've got a lot of contemporary activity. They've got music that's not our music. They've got drums that we don't have. They've got instruments that we don't have. They've got a pastor that's preaching with a shirt tail hanging out. No necktie. Maybe he's got a t-shirt on. They're seeing things a whole lot differently than what they've got here. We are more conservative. We're conservative in our music. We actually sing traditional hymns and spiritual songs and psalms. We do what the Bible says to do. Your pastor tries his best to look like a pastor, and I believe we ought to. Why? Because this is the holy place, Brother John. That's a holy place up there. I'm serving a holy God. We're on the holy ground over here. And bless God, even his little Obed would come in, Brother John, and he would slip his little shoes off, and he'd slid them right over here to the side. Y'all ever seen him do that? You know why he does that? He said, because he feels like he is standing on holy ground. I don't do that. It's not because I desecrate that place. I just have never been impressed to take my shoes off up there. But Moses felt that way. If Obed feels that way, he ought to do just that. But what I'm saying is this, my friends. Let me tell you, we ought to be sound in our faith. We ought to be established and set and know why we're set that way. Well, that's the way it's always been. If it's always been that way, but it was wrong, do we keep doing it wrong just because it's always been? No, but if it's biblical and established and it is sound in faith and doctrine, brother, we ought to continue therein. We ain't even got off the aged men yet. Ooh. The aged men should be sound in faith. What else? In charity. In love. Man, didn't you just preach on that? I can't hit the different types of love, the storge, the eros, the phileia. I can't hit all of those tonight. That's a whole different message at a different time. But there is the phileo or the Philadelphia love, the brotherly love among kindred people. There's eros, that erotic love between my wife and I. That's reserved just for us. But as Brother Tim said, there is such thing as an agape love. That's that unconditional love of God. Man, ain't nothing like it either, Brother Tim. Man can't get that deep in love. I might love you as my brother in Christ, but guess what? It's not the agape love. I'm loving you upon a condition. You're going to treat me right and deal squarely with me and be fair with me. Or you know what? I'm probably not even going to come around you anymore. But God's going to love you regardless. Whether you're a drunkard or whether you're a preacher, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, God still loves you, and you're not going to change that love. A preacher friend of mine from Tennessee, he's going to be preaching over here not too awful long, back later part of the month of January. He sent me a little thing today that said, I've given God many reasons not to love me, but none of them have changed his mind. I like that. We're still on the aged men, but be sound in faith and doctrine and all the things, and in charity. Love everybody. I'm not saying you have to like everybody's ways, but you got to love everybody. And then the last part of that, of the men, of the aged men, was to be not just sound in faith and in charity. And I guess this is where we all stumble just slightly, in patience. Where's my patient men? How many of you would jump up, spring-loaded seat, and say, I'm the patient one? I don't do well with patience. I'm not very long-suffering, to be honest with you. I'm like Ma Bell. You know what Ma Bell was known? What did Ma Bell do, Brother Paul? She would just reach out and touch someone. Yeah. That's what Ma Bell said. Just reach out and touch someone. That's what I want to do, Brother Kim, but I can't do that because I'm not supposed to be a brawler. That's another message part. It works into that real well tonight, but sound in faith, sound in charity, and also sound in patience. You know where our patience comes from? The Bible teaches us that as well. The Bible said, yes, the tribulations. Tribulations worketh unto patience, expatience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Sometimes we just get, as Brother Derek said, we just get tried. Sometimes it's trial by fire. Man, that's a hard way to learn patience, but that's what the Bible said. Man, we got to move on. Let's get down to this women. Woohoo! Me, all, and all the aged men said, amen! Preach! Bear down right here, preacher. You're going to get on them old women now. The aged women. The Bible says the word likewise. What's that mean? Well, Brother Derek, you are a scholar tonight. Brother, you're two for two. That word likewise attributes those be faith established and sound in faith and charity and in patience and all those previous things. It aligns them to that. To let them be sound in doctrine, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. It aligns the aged women with the things that were just going previously talked about. And it says to these women that they be in behavior. What is behavior in the scripture? When it says talk about behavior, it's talking about the mannerism. It's talking about your conversation, your conduct. It's talking about who you really are. And you don't have to be around somebody very long and you're going to find out what is their custom. You're going to find out what is their manner of speech. You're going to find out what is their holiness and what is their behavior. It doesn't take you very long because about the first time their mouth comes open, you're going to find out what's inside of their heart. Why? Because the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth does speak, and it surely does. Here the Bible said that the aged women likewise, that they that in behavior has become in holiness. These women are supposed to be holy. And that don't just mean holy in conversation, but it means holy in the closet. A woman ought to look like a woman, ought to come out dressed like a woman, ought to be a woman in all things, teaching modesty to the young girls. Why? Because my friends, it matters to God, and it does matter to God. God or Eve would have never went covered up. Adam would have never went covered up themselves if it didn't matter to God, and it matters. And the women are supposed to teach that. And let me just be honest with you. Sometimes, and as a preacher friend of mine that had this to go on in his church, he had a young girl that the skirt kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And he finally talked to his deacons, and he told the deacons, he said, "Look, we got a problem here." He said, "I've got to address that, but it's a very touchy subject." He said, "I'm going to need a witness. I'm going to need some help." So what'd they do? They talked to the young woman's mama. That'd be a good place to start. Well, they talked to the young woman's mama. Brother Chris, you know what happened? Rather than the skirt getting longer, the skirt got shorter. And then next thing you know, Brother John, it got to the point that mama put that girl on the front pew of the church. And then I can't even tell you what all was going on. But you can almost with your imagination know what was going on. It was nothing more than a front. It was an attack. An affront of very in the face of God, because the preacher had to get his little pulpit. He had a little stand that the choir leader uses, and he had to bring it and put it about right here. Why? So that he'd be preaching behind the sin that was in front of his face. And that's the way that it went. Young women ought to be taught by the aged women, and you aged women have a weight of the world upon you to teach them what this Bible says about becoming holy. It said that their behavior should be coming as holiness. What else, preacher? Well, we'll just leave that other one right there and say conduct and manners and dress and modesty and all that. We'll just let that fall right where it's at. But it also says, not false accusers. What's that? What's that? Don't be a devil. How about a liar with a big floppy tongue full of gossip and hate? False accusers. What's a false accuser? That's a liar. Where I'm from, that's full of blaspheme and full of all kind of vitriolic hate and rhetoric toward against God, toward the things that would matter to God. Don't be against God. And listen, I'm not just picking out women with long tongues, and I'm not pointing you out, Margaret. I'm not. I love you, Margaret. And don't you go out here and say, "He called me right out." We put this stuff in our covenant, didn't we? Where's that up there, Brother Danny? Can you see it? I can't even see it from here. I ain't supposed to be backbiting tail bears. That's in that third paragraph down. To be faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, excessive anger. I just thought that was up there. No, it's in here too, because that was taken from here. But the aged women are supposed to be given to holiness. The Bible said to honesty, not false accusers, not given to much wine. They're supposed to be upright at heart, teachers of good things, to be helpful to the younger women and also to the husbands. That's all scriptural. If you've got somebody that's bringing you down, talk to them. you can't get them to come to church with you, pray for them. Maybe they will eventually. Let's just keep going on down. I was easy on the old women. You young women, listen up right here. Those older women, I shouldn't call them old women, but the older women, the aged women, the Bible says aged, that they may teach the young women. To what? To be sober. Where do we see that word? To be fully alert, to aware and cognizant of the surroundings. To love their husbands. Oh, so they should have one. How about to love their children? If God blesses them with them, they ought to love on them. Where are they going to learn how to do that? They better be learning it from the aged women, because that's what the Bible said. They should be teaching these younger ones how to do that. To be discreet. What's that mean, preacher? What's discreet? What does that mean? Discreet. Quiet, discreet, prudent, watchful. Be discreet. Quiet about things. That they also would not only be discreet and chaste. What's chaste? That's just pure. Purity, have some purity about themselves. To be keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Not somebody else's husband, but to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That they be inclined to God. That they'd be watchful for the ways to please God. Do you know you can't please God and disobedient to your husband and be disobedient to your husband and still please God? It ain't going to work. It all works together. It really does. I think of the times that my wife and I have had those moments of intense fellowship. I can promise you this, God was not pleased with that. He wasn't. And most of the time, whenever we finally get together, we realize it was something so trivial. And I wonder what kind of an example, if she was to be a teacher to the younger, because she's the aged and I'm the aged, what were we teaching them? I hope that we taught you. I don't know what Reggie taught you. Is Reggie here tonight? Yeah, peeking around there now. I hope we taught you conflict resolution. I hope that we taught you don't go to bed mad at one another. And all those little sayings that people write on cards and give to you at your wedding, it was probably a great deal of wisdom come from some of this crowd in here. But I hope that you can work these things out. Why? Because you're going to eventually have probably, I don't know, maybe the Lord won't let you, but maybe you'll have children someday. And if you do have children someday, you're going to need to instill them values. Why? Because if we don't have another generation coming up behind us that loves the Lord, it dies out with us. It dies out with our generation. If there's not enough, if they ain't in a cold somewhere teaching a youngin' about God, then where's it going to stop? It'll stop with us. There better be another generation coming up behind us that the word of God might go on. Let's go on to the young men. Verse number 6 says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. I think we all got that sober message, to be upright, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be looking, aware of our surroundings, of what's coming down the line toward us that would hurt us in our walk with Christ. So we go on then, and what's it say next? That the young men, that all things show in thyself a pattern of good works. There's a trait of its own, showing the good works of God. And then what else does it say? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. There's that word grave again, but it's in the word of gravity, showing the seriousness of it all. And the Bible says sincerity. Be sincere in what you're doing. Make sure that it's of God, and then be sincere in it. And then it says sound speech. Teaching, listen to this, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Don't be a slanderer. Speak solid doctrinal positions of faith when you're teaching others and helping others. That way you can't be condemned. Look what it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Don't give them a reason to accuse you, Brother Chris. Yeah, who is that young preacher think he is? He just thinks he's a sinner saved by grace. No better than anybody else, but saved by grace. And then we go on down. I'm going to close this thing out here in just a few minutes. And it says that the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, verse number 11, hath appeared to all men. And look at verse number 12, because verse number 12 is aligned to verse number 11. The Bible said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What teaches us that? Verse number 11 says that it is the grace of God that teaches us these things. That looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying himself a peculiar people. I'm going to close this thing down here very quickly tonight. It probably is a pretty good study there if we were to break that thing down for 2 or 3 weeks. What I'm wanting to do tonight is to get us to a point of understanding this. Every message that I preach, I don't care when it is, every message has an undertone for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's not for him. It's not always for her. It's for you. And you might have somebody in mind when I'm preaching about this. You might have somebody in mind when I'm preaching about that. But my friend, you have no cause to sit here and go like this and shove it on back to somebody else. It doesn't work that way, Brother John. And you can't come out and say, "Preacher, that was a good message tonight, buddy. And if they'd have been here, they'd have sure got it. I wasn't preaching to them that wasn't here." Tim, you can't say, "Buddy, if he'd been behind me tonight, you'd have laid him out like a clock." It doesn't work that way. I wasn't preaching the one that's not sitting there. God sent it to the one that was sitting here. You're the aged man, married to an aged woman, that jointly should be teaching the young women. You should have taught Nicole by now, because she's probably already getting into that aged class of her own. Why? Because she's got somebody younger coming along. So that's the way this thing's fitly framed together and works itself out. You ever heard the term, "There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians"? How many pastors does a church have? There's one. What happens whenever the pastor is controlled by board of deacons, or they're controlled by a committee? They got a committee that controls an oversight committee. Y'all have heard of an oversight committee? Do you know what the position of an oversight committee is? The oversight committee oversees the other committees. God help us, Brother Kim, to never have an oversight committee, because if we've got an oversight committee, we got too many committees. Serious. But you got a financial committee. The deacons make decisions, but they got to run it by the financial committee to make sure that everything's... Listen, just go by the Bible. Show me committee in there. It's not in there. Are deacons in there? They're in there. Are pastors in there? Are preachers in there? Are bishops in there? Aged men in there? Young men in there? Aged women in there? Young women in there? Children in there? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How about fathers loving your children? Don't provoke them into wrath. Don't make them mad. Don't give them cause to be mad without a reason. God said don't do that. Don't provoke your children to be angry, to wrath. It's all in there. If we'll get this, let this be our guidebook and our rule book, we're going to be ready. Because 2 weeks from Sunday night, 1 week from Sunday night, we will be entering into a 4-night period of what I have termed our winter revival. January the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's a 4-night revival. You said, "We usually have 6 or 7 nights." Not always. I preached a 4-night revival for y'all. Yeah, I did. Started on January the 30th, December the 30th, 31st, 1st, and 2nd in the year of 2007 and rolling into 2008. And then I become your pastor in that new year. 4-night revival. God said, "Do it, we're going to do it." Coming out of the new year, we're going to start out the new year with a 4-night revival. Brother Matthew Higgins, the pastor of Round Hill Baptist Church, is going to be with us. You said, "What'd you bring all that up?" Because I want you to hear me, what I'm getting ready to say. Every message is for everybody. I didn't call Grant out tonight and say, "Grant, put this on. 200 people here, but it's only for you, buddy." No, it's for everybody. Kim got a little dose. Brother Jamie got a little dose. Miss Laura got a little dose. Why? Because Elaine Grace is going to need that. Connor's going to need a little help along the way. He's going to have something he's going to be confronted with. He's going to come today and say, "Daddy, I don't understand this right here." What are you going to tell him? "I'll figure it out." Go ask your buddies. They all know. Yeah. You leave that to the other peer group, his same age group, and let them all get together and figure it out. They'll work it out. It won't work out. It has become with godliness. As we stand over the house, Miss Macy, come. Brother Eddie Killian, preacher friend of mine, that